Not only that, blessed men make it victoriously. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who passing through. I have one of our most faithful saints. And there are some old timers I look around that I can see here. And they're jewels. Howard Skaines and Ben and all the men that were here, that are still here years ago when I came, and Lucille. There are lots of rocks that responded to the truth and hung on in faith. Mr. Edwards is one. He's going into surgery tomorrow, and his biggest concern, his biggest concern was that a check that he had committed to give to God get in the mail and get to me before today. And he's going into surgery tomorrow. We would have survived without that check. We're making it because of faith like that. That's what counts. I have them call me every week. They're going into surgery. They have incurable cancer. They have this or that facing them. And I say, Lord, you're giving what I live for. You're giving the fruit of your word. And people are actually doing what your word says. They're looking at your word, not at the circumstance. As Mr. Edwards goes into surgery, I think he epitomized this verse. Blessed men not only pass through valleys of weeping, they make it a well. You know what the literal is? They turn that valley into a place of springs. There are hundreds listening to me that have faith today because they saw me and others. When annihilation faced us every day, look it in the teeth, and though the human weaknesses were on display, one thing was also on display, and that was we'd still grab hold of God's word and keep hanging on. Blessed men turn their valleys into a place of springs. I could beat that to death and preach on any one of these words the whole hour, but I think it's self-explanatory. It reduces to one word, victorious. God's word guarantees you will not only make it, the valley, instead of conquering you, will be conquered. Not just gotten out of, defeated. The valley of weeping turned into a place of springs. The devil designs it for our hurt. God designs it for our good. And we come out the better. That's why escapism, Christianity, is not the kind I preach. Oh, God, deliver me from this valley! Shut up! You squalling brat. Shut up! Get on through it. That's the God I serve. Get up and go. Not lay down and squall. You can make it. Not only can you make it, you'll have the testimony of the type of Christ in the Old Testament, Joseph, when he looked at those miserable brethren, he said, you designed it for my hurt. God intended it for my good. Wait till I look down on those miserable rats, including that law partner. Get your faith in God. There may be some people not live as long as they counted on living. God's on his throne. But more important, God from his throne as Lord of hosts is tabernacled in you. Now, can you see the Lord of hosts in old Scott? He's the Lord of hosts. He's in me, waiting to be expressed through me. Oh, Lord, deliver me. You're getting there. He's in us, the Lord of hosts. Sure, it looks like it's going to kill me. And I'm not too hot at this, but I'm better than I was 7 years ago. Get up and look it in the face and say, God's word forever settled in heaven is, blessed men, they have their valleys, but they go through them. Nay, they not only go through them, they turn them into a place of springs. I'm not going to look like a desert cactus. I'm going to look like a California poppy just blossoming in the problem. The rain also filleth the pools. You've heard me say before, I used to preach on this when I was hoping the Lord really meant what he said, and if he meant what he said, he'd do it. I was subtle, but it's where a lot of Christianity is. I preached that way for years. I just preach, and I'd say, you know, there it is. If I'll accept the fact that valleys of weeping are part of the trip and sort of set my teeth and keep going, God will send a cloudburst and deliver me. He'll kill that old judge tomorrow. He'll give all those FCC personnel hemorrhoids like he gave the... There's no H on that. It's the emeralds that he gave the Philistines. Just pay attention. I wish he'd give them the other thing because they sit down so much, but it's not the promise. It's a kind of boils. Hope they get some on the bottom side. God kill that old judge and give emeralds. Check it out. You go to the Old Testament and hunt your concordance. He gave it to the Philistines. Win all my battles for me like the Lord of hosts he is, and let me sort of stand up and taunt my enemies. Come on, God, send your cloudburst. Kill him tomorrow. Emerald's Tuesday. And I thought that's a promise. If you just hang in there a while, God will fill the pools. Bad translation. The literal is, covereth the pools. The blessed man's already got water in the valley. The blessed man has already transformed the valley into a place of springs. The blessed man has already conquered the valley. The rain, when it comes, is icing on the cake. Too much of Christianity fall into what I call spiritual cloud watchers, led by spiritual rainmakers. What God's word promises is valley conquerors who turn the valley from the ground upward into springs, who conquer their valley. And God, like he loves the hilarious giver in the New Testament, when God sees that kind of faith, then paradoxically he gets so turned on by it, he rains. We try to get it in reverse. We say, soften the ground, Lord, rain a while, so the digging's easier. Give me some rain so I can dig the pools. God's order is, dig! Then comes the rain. Well, what's the strength? Since it's not the rain, I skipped over that. What is this blessing that never changes, It's on a man who passes on his trip through a valley of weeping, turns it into a place of springs, and gets the rain on him. What's the blessing? Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Simple, one word. Thee. Maybe two. In thee. Now let me make that practical. Eighth chapter of Romans, after describing the defeats of a man who tries in his own strength alone in the seventh chapter, the eighth chapter of Romans is the high chapter of victory in the whole Bible. As the 11th chapter of Hebrews is the high chapter of faith, the eighth chapter of Romans is the chapter of victory. It's the one that ends, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, pain, any circumstance? I'm persuaded," Paul says, "that neither life, nor death, nor height, nor principality, nor things present, nor things to come, height, depth, anything, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The victory of the eighth chapter is to those that are in Christ. About six or seven verses into the chapter, Paul, so simply a child can figure it out, tells you how you get in Christ. And he states it simply. If Christ is in you, you're in Christ. And when it shifts from trying to figure out how do I get in Christ, to a simple statement that that is automatic. You don't have to know how that happens because God does that. God totally puts us in Christ if Christ is in us. And the Bible repeatedly tells us how Christ gets in us. Christ is formed in your heart by faith. The moment you turn faith loose, faith that takes a promise that fits your bill of goods and says, "I will act on that no matter what else I see." When you start that action, God puts Christ in you and you in Christ. Simple as that. Blessed is the man then whose strength is in thee. He has declared, we are his tabernacles. The New Testament tells us how. When you're faithing, it's hard for me to believe God would dwell in me. That's that good news of the gospel, and that's that mystery of the kingdom that Paul unveiled. It is a mystery. That God would make us his habitation. That's what the Ephesian letter says. We had a wall of petition between us and God. When Christ died, that wall of petition was broken, enabling God to send his Spirit to abide and to dwell in us. You don't have to feel a thing. It's a promise. You start acting on it. God's blessing, the reason it doesn't change, is that he doesn't change. God has never promised, "I won't have valleys." That's the devil's message. God has never promised to take you and me out of our troubles. Indeed, Jesus said, "In the world, ye will have tribulation. And there is nobody from me downward or upward in the walk of God, wherever you may be on the spectrum. Nobody has ever faced tribulation unjustly heaped on one as Jesus did. None of you have yet paid his price, or you wouldn't be sitting here, because he died. Our high priest has made the trip. And he knows how tough it is. And he said for you and me to expect anything other than tribulation is to expect the servant to be treated better than the master was." I'm not talking about the great tribulation, which is God's wrath. Paul, his supreme example. Paul wore the credentials of Christianity beyond any apostle. He said, "I glory in tribulation, for it worketh tridness, and tridness endurance rather, and endurance worketh triedness, and triedness the hope. Yes, I will make it all the way. God never promised we wouldn't have problems. He just said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you. There's not a person in the sound of my voice that can't claim that promise. How amiable then are thy tabernacles. God with us. The son of Isaiah, Emmanuel. The promised Messiah, God with us. The plea of Jesus who said, if I go not away, the Comforter, the Paraclete, one alongside will not come. Blessed men will not let the valley cloud their vision of the presence. God has promised to be with us. And the like plugging a cord in the wall, that witness is dependent upon a grip of faith. If you walk from this place or walk to this place, counting on God's promise, no matter what, you have contact. God is in you. He is the Lord of hosts. We're His tabernacle. And blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. God's with me. Damnable old crooked judge is over there. God's with me. Well, the FCC has hemorrhoids or not. Oh, I slipped. Whatever they have. They can have them. God's with me. Whatever you're facing, God is with you. And in whose... There's a second criteria. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. That we know he's with us. In whose heart are the ways of them. Scratch out the words of them. They're in italics. How many got them in italics in your Bible? Let me see your hand. Add it with the translators, idiots. Not in the original. The word ways refers back to God. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of thee. Huh. So that's what Christianity is about. Yep. That's what repentance is. Not squalling, trying to get some little favorite business with God after you bring Him an apple like the teacher. It's a turnaround from my way to His way. Now, my way, I got it all figured out. I want to be rich and healthy, live to be 400, do everything I want to do. That's my way. God's ways will turn me around and prepare me for eternity and bring forth in me the image of His Son. Now, He knows what it takes. He has a purpose for me that's eternal. I'm in training for eternity. I get excited thinking about that because I know some people won't be there. I'm still carnal enough to just enjoy that thought. But I and you, God has a way for us. He wants to change you and me. He knows what it takes. Oh, God! Shut up. Swat. And bless men. The quality of their blessing will never change when they never forget the Lord is with thee. And when they never forget, God's ways are not our ways, but His ways are the right ways. God lamented that the Israelites never came to know His ways. They just saw His actions. Moses came to know His ways. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are the ways of Him. That calls for a commitment that says to God, I know and you know, I have acknowledged you in my ways. I have turned from my way to your way. I'm in your hands, Lord. And what happened that's got me in the mess I'm in, including that surgery tomorrow, I'm still in God, and He's in me, and He knows about it, and I'm going to rest in that knowledge, His ways. And when I come to know His ways, and I go on, O Lord of hosts, verse 8, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob, An amazing verse. Lord God of hosts, all powerful, hear my prayer, give ear. He doesn't say, O God of Israel. Jacob eventually changed from heel-catching, conniving crook that he was to Israel, a prince that has power with God. But it isn't the righteous Israel's name that is in this prayer. It's like you want to jar the nerves with the contradiction. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, from the highest to the lowest. Though he's the Lord of hosts, he will hear the prayer of the worm Jacob before Jacob even became Israel. That nature in all of us that looks out for ourselves, God will still listen. And blessed men will go through their valley. If you will remember, the Lord is with you. He hasn't left, and he knows what he's doing. And your heart accepts his ways over you. Behold, and I close with this, O God, our shield. And that's going to be repeated in the 11th verse. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Now let me just handle that quickly and be done. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The sun, by analogy, gives light, gives life, gives strength, gives heat, but it gives control. The sun controls the orbits. It's the giver of life, light, heat, etc., but it controls. This verse says God's like that. There's a dark side and there's a light side, but the sun stays in control, not the moon. That's the analogy. The Lord God is a sun and shield. That tells me, as bad as it looks in your valley, God has promised nothing's going to hit you that he didn't allow. When you get out of thinking God is our servant and start thinking in God's ways that he's trying to make something out of us and he knows what it takes, he's the shield. And nothing falls upon the child of God that is in Christ that God does not allow. He stays in control. That's why I say it will not kill you. You will make it, and you can be victorious. The Lord will give grace, unmerited favor, and glory. Glory is the substance of God, his strength. No good, and the King James adds thing. Strike it out, it's added to the translator. No good, his good, will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I need to preach on that verse next time I preach, because it means to walk in him, and you walk in him. By faith, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth, and the word is to lean. Your total weight. Blessed is the man that leaneth on thee. You can make it. And as David would say in another psalm, put it in the past tense, we made it. Come on, stand and say it with me. We made it through 1983.